What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Sarge's NBA DFS podcast. It is playoff time. We finally are here. I feel like this last week has been just brutal in terms of injury reports and just guys sitting out and other guys playing and playing huge minutes. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But we expected that with the last week of the season. Sorry I didn't get a podcast out the last, 2 days of the season. It was just, we had a 10-game slate and a 15-game slate. And when I woke up on both days, the injury report had, 25 to 40 guys each day that were questionable. And it wasn't even, probable or doubtful. It was literally just questionable. And then I'm glad I didn't record on the 15-game slate because teams were waiting for, games to play out where, for example, Milwaukee was waiting to see if Brooklyn won or lost. And then if Brooklyn would have lost, they would have played all their starters trying to get that two seed. But since Brooklyn won, they just decided to rest every single guy. And it just completely changes the slate. And when there's 15 games, it's just, a waste of my time, a waste of your time for me to get something out that by the time the slate starts, there's no true value of the podcast. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to provide you guys value. And, when something like that happens, just not going to get a podcast out. But today, it is the first day of the playing game. It's Tuesday, May 18th. I'm fired up. I think both of these games today are going to be awesome. You finally have a situation in the NBA where we're going to have guys playing normal-ish minutes, probably a lot more than normal because it's everything's on the line here. But we finally have a situation where the minutes are going to be secure. You're not going to – unless there's foul trouble, you're not going to have Jason Tatum go run out there and play 25, 28 minutes. Like, he's going to play big minutes. Same with Westbrook. Same with Beal. Like, there's no resting people anymore. You got to go. It's a do-or-die situation for teams here. I know the 7-8 game, if you lose – you do have another game to try to advance to the playoffs, but you do not want to get to that game. You're going to give everything you got. Coaches are going to run these guys huge minutes here today to avoid that kind of situation. So let's get into this thing. The first game of the day is going to be at 3:30 on the West Coast, 6:30 on the East Coast. It is Charlotte versus Indy. It's a 226 total. Indy is favored by 2. We have no Caris LeVert on the Indy side. And that is a brutal, brutal blow for them. It's due to health and safety protocols. I don't know if he got the virus. I don't know if someone around him got the virus, but man, that is, we knew something like that was going to happen come playoff time where a huge piece of a team was not going to be able to play due to health and safety protocols. And we have it right off the bat in the first playing game. Let's start with the Charlotte side because they're the away team. Indy's going to get home court advantage for this one. Brogdon, so I don't really know. Like, the Charlotte side is going to – you know who's going to probably start in this one. I think last game against the Knicks, they ran who they thought they were going to be the starters because the last three games they've had kind of a rotation of – they have their big pieces. LaMelo's going to start. Terry Rozier's going to start. PJ Washington's going to start, but they've been running Bismack Biyombo at center starting. They've been running Jaden McDaniels in there, starting certain games, coming off the bench certain games. Miles Bridges starting certain games. So they were kind of testing. I think Borrego was kind of testing out certain lineups in the last couple games of the season. But for right now, I think the starters here on Charlotte are going to be LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Jaden McDaniels, Miles Bridges, and PJ Washington. I could see them maybe going with Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo at center just to maybe try to go bigger against Sabonis. But Sabonis, he's good at down low. Don't get me wrong. Like, he'll go down there and bang with guys, and he'll finish around the rim. But, he plays a lot on the perimeter, and they run him, he'll catch the ball kind of at the free throw extended and, have dribble handoffs and stuff like that. So you still have to have an athletic guy on him for that reason. And I see PJ Washington starting at center here today. And they love Miles Bridges. They made it known. Miles Bridges almost had a 50-40-90 season here this year. He's been really sneaky good. I think he starts at the four and plays big minutes. So right now, like I said, I have LaMelo Ball, Rozier, McDaniels, Miles Bridges, and PJ Washington starting. I have LaMelo Ball in for 35 minutes. I know that might seem a little low because I'm going to have some other guys here, you know, playing huge minutes on certain teams. But he's a rookie. They know they're not going to win a playoff series. They know that. They're going to play their guys big minutes. Don't get me wrong, but they're not going to risk it with LaMelo Ball coming off a broken wrist. He's going to play big-ish minutes for him. I think he plays around 35. If you see the rotation they're going with around LaMelo Ball, is he's playing the first 6-ish minutes of the game coming out. Devontae Graham will come in for him, and then he comes back in at the end of the first quarter, plays the end of the first, a little bit of the second. They take him back out, and then he'll come back in with like 3 or 4 minutes left in the half. So they'll do that with him in the first half. But in the second half, I think what he does is he runs eight-ish minutes in the first quarter, that he comes out, sits the remainder of the first, and then comes back in for the fourth quarter and plays that whole fourth quarter. So I think 35 minutes is a good number to have for LaMelo Ball. I think he's the one stud on this team that isn't going to play just extreme minutes. So I have him in for 35 minutes. I think he scores you around on average 45 fantasy points. I have him in for 44.8. Plays at around 1.28 fantasy points per minute without Gordon Hayward on the floor. So I think the upside with LaMelo Ball here at 8-1 is just extremely massive. Because, like I said, I think they're going to be careful with him. But if they decide not to be, and you see LaMelo Ball run out there for 40 minutes, I mean, the upside with him is insane. Like, LaMelo Ball could have easily a triple-double with 30 points. And you see, you know, one of these humongous Russell Westbrook-type games where he has 13 assists, 13 rebounds, 30 points, and has a massive fantasy day. So I love LaMelo Ball. He's my favorite Hornet here today. I think the upside with him is just absurd. I have Terry Rozier in for 38 minutes. I think he can play anywhere between 38 and 42. He's the guy on this team that does play insane minutes. They're not worried about him, you know, getting injured or any sort of that. So he's going to go out there and play the biggest minutes on this team, I would assume. Jalen McDaniels I have in for 28. I have Miles Bridges in for 38. I have PJ Washington in for 32. And the reason I don't have him in for huge minutes is because I don't think he's necessarily a lock to close here in this one. They've been going with Cody Zeller. He didn't close the last two games, and his minutes were 30 and 32 minutes in those last two games. So, you know, he's a guy that Borrego gets frustrated with at times, because it's tough with a guy like him, because you don't want to play him necessarily at power forward. You like having him at the five and stretching the floor, but at times he runs into problems guarding five. So he's kind of in this no man's land. I'm in for 32 minutes. I think he can play. I think he can play anywhere between 28 and 40 minutes. So I think he does have big upside, but it's just a matter of what, you know, what their closing lineup is going to be. I think the most likely closing lineup for this team is going to be a three-guard rotation. So I think you're going to have Graham, Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball all closing. I think they go with Miles Bridges for sure in that closing lineup. So those are my four locks to close. And then it's going to be either Cody Zeller or PJ Washington, in my opinion. So that's why I have PJ Washington in for the lowest amount of minutes outside of Jaden McDaniels, who I don't think closes really in any sort of scenario here. So 28 for McDaniels. I have 32 off the bench for Graham, and then Zeller for 28. Zeller looks like a really nice play at 4,700 because he's played 36 and 30 minutes in the last two games. He doesn't really need to do a whole lot when he's out there to get you there in fantasy at 4,700. I think he looks like a hell of a play with a ton of upside, because if he goes out there and closes and plays around 30 minutes, the guy plays at 1.05 fantasy points per minute without Gordon Hayward on the year. It's even higher with Gordon Hayward on the floor. Obviously him off, it's not going to change a whole lot. Cody Zeller is a hell of a fantasy producer. In this situation, if he's playing well, they're going to have to close with him. So looks like a really good play. I like some Devontae Graham as well. Haven't been for 32 minutes. He's probably going to close. Devontae Graham could go out there and play 35, 38 minutes as well, even off the bench, because like I said, he comes in for LaMelo Ball around the 6-minute mark in the first quarter. I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen again today, because like I said, LaMelo can go out and play bigger minutes, but he's going to go out there, and once he comes in, a lot of times he doesn't come back out. Like, he'll come in at the 6-minute mark and he'll just run the rest of the half. So upside with Devontae Graham in terms of minutes is huge as well. I have him in for 32. Like I said, I think he can play more, and the most likely scenario is he does play more. Have him in for 32 minutes. He looks good in terms of points per dollar. I just think I'd rather pay the extra $2,000 for LaMelo Ball. I'd rather pay the extra $1,600 for Terry Rozier. I just think those guys' upsides are a lot higher because they get rebounds and they get assists. Devontae Graham is more of a just a scorer, right? You know, 25 and 15 real points in the last two games, and 41 and 31 minutes, two assists, eight assists, three rebounds, two rebounds. Like, the upside with him isn't even close to LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier. So, like I said, I'd just rather go to those two guys. I think Devontae Graham's going to get a little bit of ownership. I honestly don't know necessarily where ownership will fall on this slate. I think a lot of it has to do with a couple starting lineups coming out, especially on the indie side. So, like I said, I really like LaMelo Ball, really like Terry Rozier. They're my two favorite plays. LaMelo Ball by far. If I was making 100 lineups today, I'm not going to. I'm going to be single entering. I would have over 50% LaMelo Ball, and I would have close to like 30% Terry Rozier. I really like both of them. It's a small slate. You're not going to find a guy with the upside as LaMelo Ball with the minute upside as him, of him as well at 8,100. He plays at 1.28 fantasy points per minute. Like, it's just a great discount on him because the minutes have been low. So love LaMelo Ball, favorite play. The guys I won't play on this team are going to be McDaniels. I would have none of him. I think there are opportunities where he can close. But, you know, he's young, man. Is he a rookie? No, his brother's a rookie. I hate that their names are this similar. I say this every time, but okay, so he's a second year. But he's too young. He doesn't have the experience as the other guys. Not the talent LaMelo Ball is. I don't think he closes. So he's the one guy I probably won't touch in the starting lineup. And then it just depends where ownership falls. Like, if you see, you know, a Miles Bridges or a P.J. Washington really drop low in terms of ownership, I don't mind going over it. I think Bridges plays huge minutes as well. I think at 7K, the upside is still huge. All right, let's get to the indie side. I am just assuming that all these guys that are questionable are going to play. This is a playoff scenario. I keep going back and forth on whether I want to call it a playoff game or not. It's a play-in game, but there's playoff implications. So it's technical. They're going to play this as if it's a playoff game. Why would these guys not play? Why would Malcolm Brogdon not play? If he was seriously injured where he legitimately couldn't play, why would they not have him out from the very start? He's been questionable up – outside of the last game of the year where they ruled him out early, he's been questionable in every single game. Same with Edmund Sumner. Same with Sabonis. You know, same with Aaron Holiday. So I would assume all those guys play. You're going to have Miles Turner out. Like I said, Caris LeVert health and safety protocols is going to be out. That affects a ton just because his usage has been insane as of late. But I think they go with, in terms of their starters, Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Holiday, McDermott. I do think they start Brissett still. He's been playing well. He had a huge game last game. I just think they really, really like what he brings to the table. Because he's not a guy that needs shots, right? He's a guy that goes out there. When he gets the open shot, he's going to take it. But it's just he's solid defensively. It'll be interesting because Miles Bridges is going to be starting at the four here today. And Brissett could struggle against him. I could see that. But I think they do start with him at the four, the bonus at the five. I have McConnell, Sumner, and Holiday all coming off the bench getting minutes. I don't think anyone else really gets – into the rotation for this team. I think for the most part, most teams are going to be running eight-man rotations. So you're going to see like Caleb Martin, who's been picking up minutes, Goga, Samson, you know, Cassius Stanley. And those guys are all going to just completely follow the rotation. I have Brogdon in for 36 minutes. I have Holiday in for 35, McDermott in for 35, Brissett in for 30, Zabonis in for 42. I have McConnell in for 26. I think he's a bit of an X factor here on this slate because his price has now come up to the point where if he's not starting in this game, which I don't expect him to, the ownership on him now at a higher price is going to be very low, and I would be very interested in him at low ownership. on a four-game slate because I think he does have an opportunity to close, but I only have him in for 26 minutes currently. I have Sumner in for 22, and I have Aaron Holiday playing the backup minutes to Brogdon. Leaves a couple minutes on the table, but you know, you can see Brissett pick up 32. You could see Brogdon actually go up and play 38, 39, depending on how healthy he is. But the best play on this team by far, in my opinion, is going to be Domantas Sabonis. His price has come down to 10K. It's too cheap for him. He has been a per-minute monster, and the minutes with him are going to be massive. I have him in, like I said, for 42, and that may seem really high, but they run him in even in games that don't go into overtime. If it's close, you can – like against Washington, I know that game went into overtime. He played 44 minutes. Against Atlanta in regulation, he played 41. Now you have a playoff game, essentially. He's going to run huge minutes. Like, they're only going to rest him probably 3 minutes each half. And I just think Sabonis, I'm in for 57 fantasy points. I think he's going to be a guy where similar to Tatum, where I think you have to play him. Like, if you can find value around him to get him into your lineups, like, you know, if you can play the Robin Lopez's, who I'll talk about in the next game, who have opportunity to play more minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to play Sabonis, man, I think you have to play him because the minutes are going to be huge. And like I said, like the upside with him is just humongous. Like, he could legitimately go out there and score 100 fantasy points. And I love lineups where you get LaMelo Ball and Sabonis in the same lineup. I think it really gives you a high, high ceiling. And a really low floor as well, because these guys are going to be playing huge minutes and they're great fantasy producers. Want to get to a little bit of McDermott. We've seen Justin Holiday's price come up to 4,500. For that reason, I really am not too interested in him. I have him in for 20. What do I have him in for? 26 fantasy points. It looks good on paper, but he doesn't really have a huge upside because for him, it's all scoring. It's all 3-point scoring dependent. We saw a big game against Milwaukee. That was very scenario-based where a lot of guys were missing, and he just got an opportunity to run almost 40 minutes. He's not going to do that on most occasions, and the usage rate with him is going to be low. So he's probably my least favorite starter outside of Brissett. I don't really want to play much Brissett either. His price is 5,400. He scored 31 real points last game, but with Sabonis back, there's going to be very limited opportunities for him to score the basketball. Sure, he's going to probably get 10 rebounds. He'll probably score around 10 points. I just don't like the upside in tournaments. I'm not going to have really any percent, not much Holiday. I like Brogdon. I think the ownership with him will stay relatively low coming off the injury. The price isn't great. Like, $8,700 for Brogdon coming off injury is a scary price, but if he's able to go out there and run close to 40 minutes, upside with him is huge. And then I like some McConnell off the bench. Like I said, I don't want to play Sumner off the bench. I don't want to play Aaron Holiday off the bench. They just aren't good enough fantasy producers. But if McConnell is able to somehow sneak into that closing lineup, which he could easily over Brissett, if Sumner starts over Brissett, you could see him closing over Sumner. But McConnell's minutes have been weird, especially at the end of the year. We've seen him run, you know, 40 minutes in a start like he did last game. We've seen him run like 15 minutes. We've seen him run 24. He's a guy who's, you know, he's a true point guard. He's really small, but his role on this team with Caris LeVert and Brogdon has been more of a two-guard defensive guy, pick up some steals, just make the right pass. It's odd. And now you have LeVert out. I think Brogdon can play some too because he's such a good spot-up shooter, but for the most part, McConnell is going to be playing off-ball. So I really don't know where those minutes are going to be. Like I said, he's a great producer with Miles Turner and LeVert off the floor. 1.14 fantasy points per minute on the year. Big sample size. If he's able to get towards 30 minutes, I think you could see a really nice game from a low-owned McConnell. All right. We will get to the last game of the day. It is Washington at Boston. I think this Washington side is fairly simple in terms of what I want to do with them. We have Russell Westbrook playing consistently just massive, massive minutes. Like, he has played 40 or more minutes in almost every single close game in the last month. Like, if you just go look at the box scores, in each of the last four games, 40 minutes. In the two games prior to that, which I think one of them went into overtime, 44 minutes in each. 40 against Milwaukee, 39, 40. Like, this guy is just playing humongous minutes. I have him in for 40 again today. I have Beal in for 38. And then I think Neto he's going to probably start again, Hachimura and Len. I'm not going to play Len. I know it'll be semi-tempting at that price because you need value, but I would rather go down and play Robin Lopez, who is cheaper. I think he plays more minutes. I think he has a better opportunity to close over both Gafford and Len, because we've seen this in the past where when Robin Lopez is vibing with Russell Westbrook in the pick and roll, they will go to Robin Lopez and he will close games. I don't necessarily know what it is with Daniel Gafford, because he's a monster when he's out there and plays. Like, he just look like, when you go look at the box score after the game, you see Daniel Gafford plus 15 on the floor, like in the box score, and you're like, wow, why didn't that guy play more? Only played 16 minutes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but they will close with the veteran Robin Lopez. He's been in playoff games before. You know, Westbrook seems to like him in the pick and roll. It's just a huge body. So I do think Robin Lopez has the best opportunity to close a center. I have Lennon for 11 minutes. I have Gafford in for 16, and I have Lopez in for 21. I like the Lopez value a little bit more. But Gafford plays at such an insane fantasy rate, like 1.26 fantasy points per minute, that even in like 16 to 18 minutes, and if he does close, the dude has huge upside. He's 3,700. He is still cheap. Like, he got up to, I think, around 4.5 or something earlier in the month, but now he's dropped back down. You know, I still like him. I would rather play him over Alex Len, but my favorite center is going to be Lopez here today. I don't really want to play much Neto. I know he's going to be out there for a good amount of minutes. I have him in for 30. I think Ish Smith could close over him. I think Bertans could close over him. So he's 4,600. Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are taking all the usage here today and all the shots, doing everything for this team. So Westbrook and Beal are going to be my favorite plays. I have Westbrook in for 63 almost fantasy points. I have Beal in for almost 50. So those two guys look really nice on paper. I do prefer Beal to Westbrook today, and the only reason for that is if I'm playing cash, I'm going with Westbrook because he's going to have a triple-double. But if I'm playing tournaments, I like the sneakiness of Bradley Beal more. He's going to be less owned than Russell Westbrook. I think the minutes are going to be huge with him. The shots are going to be huge. And I just think the ownership is going to be, I don't think half, but it's going to definitely be a lot less than Russell Westbrook here today. Rui Hachimura at 5K looks appealing, but he'll run big minutes. He just doesn't do a whole lot with Westbrook and Beal on the floor. Like, he's not in the pick and roll too often with Westbrook. It's mostly the true center on the floor that is in the pick and roll with him, because they have a true center on the floor 98% of the time. It's going to be Lopez, Gafford, or Len on the floor 98% of the time, and they're going to be in the pick and roll with Westbrook. So not that interested in Hachimura. I think Bertans is an interesting tournament play at 4,200. If he's feeling it and shooting the lights out, they're going to keep him on the floor and they'll close him. Very scoring dependent. And then don't really want to go anywhere else on this team. I don't really want to play Smith. The price has come up after a big game last game to 3,900. Don't really want to play, like I said, Alex Len, who's just – he could legitimately play 1 minute. He could start and play 1 minute, and they just don't start him in the second half like they did last game. And I like some sneaky Lopez off the bench. I think he has the best opportunity to close at center. On the Boston side, another team I have pretty figured out. It's more the Indy side that's question. Like, there's a lot of question marks surrounding because of these guys being questionable. It's weird that they haven't decided if they're going to play yet. I think they have an idea, but weird that they're all questionable. But Boston, I have Kemba, Fournier, Smart, Tatum, Thompson starting right now. I think even if Robert Williams does play, he is probable. I think he comes off the bench, just has been dealing with an injury. They started Tristan Thompson the last time he came back from injury, probably 5 games ago. So I think he comes off the bench. I have Thompson in for 28. I have Robert Williams in for 20. I don't really want to play either of the centers if they're healthy, because Like when Thompson has a big game, it's when he's running 30-ish minutes and Robert Williams really isn't on the floor. I think Robert Williams has the opportunity to take a lot of minutes away from him. I think, you know, the ceiling with Robert Williams off the bench is like 24 minutes, so I don't really want to play him either. It's more of a matter of getting those other four starters, and that's about it from Boston. Kemba, Fournier, Smart, Tatum. Those are the guys I want to play on this team. Not touching Nesmith for like 10 to 14 minutes off the bench. Not touching Pritchard for 10 to 14 minutes off the bench. Not going to touch Grant Williams or Semi Ojeleye for like 6 to 14 minutes off the bench. They're just not good enough fantasy producers. They're not going to play enough minutes. Tatum, like I said, I love him today. He's going to run huge minutes, 40-plus minutes probably from him today. Plays at 1.38 fantasy points per minute without Jaylen Brown on the floor this year. I mean, I have him in for 55 fantasy points. He's too cheap. Like, Jason Tatum is now below 10K. He should very well be over 10K. I think in this spot, he should be close to 11K. So it's an unbelievable spot against Washington, too. He's going to take every shot. He's going to be in isolation like he does 99% of the time when he has the ball. So love Jason Tatum. And then I love Kemba Walker, too. Plays at 1.21 without Jaylen Brown. I have him in for 38 minutes. I have him in for almost 46 fantasy points. He is another really, really nice play. I love him. He's going to get less ownership than Tatum, similar to the Beal Westbrook situation. You're going to see Tatum be complete chalk. So getting to some Kemba Walker, I think, it is smart. And then I like some Fournier at 6K. I like some Marcus Smart at 5'8". Marcus Smart is going to be the least owned out of all these Celtics because he has not produced as of late at all. His price has now dropped to 5,800. I think it's a nice price. Like, Marcus Smart is going to be out there running a ton of minutes. If he's by far the lowest owned Celtic, get some Marcus Smart in your lineup to be different. Against Washington, like, he has an opportunity to go out there, get five steals, you know, five blocks, five assists, five rebounds, and score 15 points and really have a huge day. So love Marcus Smart if he's going to be the lowest owned. And then Fournier is probably not going to be as owned as the other two guys I mentioned, Tatum and Walker. So want to get to some of him as well. But my main focus on this team is just getting a ton of Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker. The usage with those two guys is going to be huge. The shot attempts with those two guys are going to be probably – I would assume that Kemba Walker takes close to 30 shots. I think Jason Tatum here takes 30-plus shots as well. So those are my two favorite guys on Boston. If you want to try to get different with Boston, like I said, I don't want to reach on the centers. I'd rather go to Marcus Smart to get different. I think Fournier will get a ton of ownership here today, and Smart's going to be a lot less owned. So if you want to get different, go to Marcus Smart. Like I said, in terms of the centers here, be aware of the starting lineup. I think Tristan Thompson starts, even if Robert Williams is ruled in late, and he's probable, so he's going to play. But I think they're cautious and just, you know, bring him off the bench and don't just throw him right into things. He's still young. And if I had to choose one, I think I'd choose Tristan Thompson. I think he has the better opportunity to close in this game. He's been running consistent minutes in general. He's not as good of a fantasy producer, but, you know, when he plays 6 to 8 more minutes than Robert Williams, I just prefer him. He grabbed 15 rebounds. He's not going to score the ball very much. Probably takes 5 to 6 shots in this game. And, you know, if he's able to get you double-double, a couple blocks, you could see a big game. The matchup is nice. I just, like I said, I don't love the centers on this slate. All right, that does it for this edition of the podcast. Hopefully, just running down some of those minutes and some scenarios with both of these teams helps you guys out today. I'm really excited to watch this these two games. I think it's going to be really fun. I think, more excited for the Charlotte Indy game. I just love watching LaMelo Ball honestly play. I love watching Sabonis. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I just think he's such a interesting type, like, big, where he's a lefty big, but he's got great touch. He's a great passer, great rebounder, and then he can also shoot the rock. So really excited for that game. Boston's been a mess this year. I think they really give up in this game. I really do. So either way, enjoy the basketball games today. I'll be back tomorrow to break down by far the most exciting playing game that maybe we'll ever have with the Lakers-Warriors. I am so fired up for that game. I will see you guys tomorrow. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Peace.